Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. It's not 2008, it's 2018. And we're on the phones. We have Renee in North Carolina on the line. You know, the David Icke coverage, Renee, reminded me of Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon in their alter egos, Kurt Hosenbeck and Tish Cadigan. You know, it's that whole theatrical nonsense. And by the way, Royal Wedding was a 1951 MGM musical comedy starring Fred Astaire and I forget what his co-star's name was. Jane Powell. But, you know, it's all theater. And unfortunately, I agree. David Icke, one of the brighter bulbs, the whole, you know, marginalizing of that brightness is unfortunate. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the thing is, I want to see what David Icke has to say about all this Royal Wedding stuff, because I know we've spoken before, and we're both kind of concerned about this stuff, how the British, you know, monarchy is on our television sets, I mean, every darn day. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't think monarchy should be playing such a big part. It's almost like they're trying to soften us up or something for
no doubt about it,
or feudalism or something. I mean, this is making me nervous. Okay,
yeah.
And like Icke said, he said it's like they're trying to rebrand the monarchy, and I agree with him.
It's the MK Ultra monarch e psyop kind of thing. You know, there was a time when facts were submitted to a candid world. And this kind of thing would never fly in this country, but we've, you know, forgotten history.
And look how much the Americans have been caught up in this. In real,
yeah.
Like you say, it's like, did you forget? Like, we had to fight these people for our free. It's like, what the hell happened? And I mean, it's like, oh, yeah. We're such good buddies now. But see, our people, look, our news media is like going along with all this. It's like, and so, I liked what Icke had to say in his, it was May 18th, I think, what his piece he did on YouTube about the royal wedding and bloodline monarchies and everything else. I thought it was excellent, okay, because like I say, I thought, well, you know, let's see what he has to say. And so the thing is, I think this is kind of heading in a dangerous direction. That's why I really believe people like Harley and the LaRouche people are extremely important right now in order to counteract what you and I seem to be kind of the few people that kind of see this and are concerned about this. You know? Harley, he should have his own show on RBN, okay?
Yeah, if that were possible, absolutely. So to kind of tie some of that stuff together, Harley Schlanger on the National Intel Report last Friday, there was a segment, I think it was the 10 to 15 minute mark in the first hour, it was right around 15 minutes or something, that he mentioned that old aphorism that the West would be ruled by British brains and American brawn. As the story goes, I think it was Stalin who said that the defeat of the Nazis was brought about by American brawn, British brains, and lots of Russian blood. And, you know, R.J. Rummel's Death by Government, obviously, is the definitive work on that subject. But speaking of Harley Schlanger and that remark that he made, you know, the West would be ruled by British brains and American brawn, and LaRouche Pack, there's an article that was published Thursday, March 22nd, 2018, titled Perfidious Albion Delenda Est. And, you know, just an excerpt from the article. As the Lord so delight in saying, British brains and American brawn can preserve the empire even though the age has long passed when Britannia ruled the waves. And where is the other excerpt that I saw? For once, perfidious Albion must stand alone, and it's increasingly obvious to the whole world that they have nothing to stand on. For 50 years, Lyndon LaRouche has warned Americans that that British geopolitics and monetary policies were driving the U.S. and the world toward economic destruction, while the U.S. carried out colonial wars on behalf of the empire. the fact that President Trump has dedicated himself to restoring the American system as championed essentially alone by LaRouche over this past half century, while also declaring that the great powers, Russia, China, and United States must be friends, means that the British Empire is facing a final demise. I disagree with that last part. I'm just connecting dots. So I entirely disagree with the last part, but you know, to connect those dots that you mentioned, there you go.
Well, see, they do it by stealth. The evil generally don't get better. They get better at it, is what I have learned. So the thing is, once you something they're doing that's evil becomes visible, they don't just stop it. They learn to hide it better. This empire, this colonialism and empire building with language and stuff has been cloaked, okay? They kind of put a candy-coated shell around a poo-poo M&M, okay?
Absolutely.
It's concealed what it is, okay?
And, so they're not bashful about it. It's interesting. It's interesting when you confront them. You know, as Alan Watt has pointed out, among others, I think his expose of it is provocative. You know, he says, I've met some of these folks, and they're very well-heeled, sophisticated, articulate. They seem compassionate, but they're really not. They're psychopaths. And so, you know, they're dignified, they're mannerly, and all of those sorts of things, but they're psychopaths. So if you confront them, kind of like the conversation that Aaron Russo intimated that he had with Nick Rockefeller, you know, saying Nick Rockefeller says, this is what we're going to do. And Aaron Russo says, why would you do that? That sounds kind of awful. And Nick says, yeah, why do you care about those people? Don't worry about that. That's how they are. And they don't consider it evil. It's just what has to happen.
Yeah, and like I said, I want to stress that point again. I think,
but it is evil.
Yeah, what clicked with me in that video that I told you about, The Truth About British Royals, I think World War One and World War Two was about reducing the population of the poor, and they were also white people, and it was white, rich white people doing it to other poorer white people, okay?
There's no doubt about it. The evidence is overwhelming, you know?
I'm so glad you agree, because like I said, wouldn't you hit the castle? No, those were left unbombed
right.
In all the poor neighborhoods. That's a clue. Right.
Edwin
That's
Black's book,
clue.
War Against the Weak, comes to mind. You know, the eugenics project that was exported around the world that was already in high gear before the First World War. And, you know, you have awful things like Unit 731 in Japan that was exported and then re-imported. And you know, the Nazi scientists in Operation Paperclip, Wernher von Braun is a Disney poster boy. You know, just the craziest kinds of things. R.J. Rummel's Death by Government. And that soundbite that I mentioned, again, the Netflix four-part series, Bobby Kennedy for President, part four opens with that clip. Maybe we should play it at some point. The gentleman who's interviewed and asked, what do you think about these deaths that we've seen in recent years, and most recently Bobby Kennedy's death, and he says, you know, it seems like a pattern to me. It seems like anybody who stands up for the poor, you know, you stand up for the poor and suddenly you die. So yeah,
that way, you know. So
yeah.
The thing is,
the useless eaters.
Know, I think there's been some changes. There's been some shifting over the last few years that I do not consider positive. And like I said, so it really cheered me up to hear Harley, because, like I said, I think Lyndon LaRouche is those LaRouche people. I think they are smart, and that you may disagree with some of their politics and the way to solve the problem.
I absolutely do, but I respect.
Smart and they're honorable.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think the approach at LaRouche PAC has been largely dignified, I would say. And like you said, it seems like they've been sort of relegated to the dustbin of history, almost to obscurity. I think your point is well observed. Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, uh-huh. Renee, for your call. And, you know, that sort of gets back to what I was saying. They're, you know, the LaRouche PAC is not as provocative and, you know, I guess, edgy or whatever as they once were considered. But again, that just, to me, that sort of reflects the trend in society, as I've said about the ACLU, the SPLC, and groups like that. We are on a course that has been charted for us that, while it's not intended for your benefit or mine, we'll just say that. Anyway, I want to get back to the headlines at some point, and I want to play that clip, but we need to get back to the phones. Let's go back to the phones and grab Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. A little history fill in here for May, the month of May. Three different personalities actually kind of intertwine here. One of them is about, like Ron Paul, when he was campaigning, was about blowback. So I just want to start with mentioning on this date in 2013, Lee Rigby was murdered in the streets near his barracks over in Woolwich in southeast London, just in memory of that. And that was a blowback. It was two, apparently he was hit by a vehicle and then he was attacked with a meat cleaver or something like that. So it was gruesome, but anyway, so that's one little bit of recent history. But then reaching back further in terms of trying to find out some of the sources of the underlying cause, as you know, I use that term frequently. Marks and Spencer, the clothing department stores that basically that was launched department stores. It was really a model and it began in 1894, I think, but Israel Moses Seif came into the picture after the takeover of basically the original two founders. One was Michael Marx, and that would be considered the other Marx, not Karl Marx, but who was from the Jewish ghetto in Grodno, Russian Polish province of Grodno, and his partner Tom Spencer, who was born in Skipton, Yorkshire, in 1851. Well, I'm just saying that to get along to saying this: after the takeover by when Tom Spencer died, William Chapman was his executor, and then so they. Between that partnership, it built that into a dynamic marketing firm. In terms of the takeover, there was litigation and so forth, and Israel Moses Seif stepped into the picture. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, he wrote a document called Freedom and Planning, and we all want freedom and planning, right? Well, this
well,
was like...
I'm
saying that facetiously.
Exactly. That's the, you know, I mean, that's the, yeah, two sides of, you know, a coin that cannot peacefully coexist anyway.
Exactly. So anyway, this is the esoteric side of what Karl Marx did with the Communist Manifesto, which was basically, that was right from the start, it was distributed. But this was distributed more surreptitiously, and it's considered by old cold warriors like myself as being the underlying cause of what transpired in Russia to a large part in terms of the thinking process from a document, not from the financing. That's a separate issue. But then after a number of years in this document, obviously it would have made the rounds. It would have been distributed surreptitiously in all the European countries. And just a side issue, I'm not a white identitarian, all right? I try to yeah, okay, just one.
Well, I know that, and, you know, speaking of that, it's interesting how Jordan Peterson, and I'm not a fan, we've had that conversation, you sent me a video, I played the clip of the Revivify quote, which to me is, you know, that to me says it all, but he's the intellectual that's the intellectual spark, basically, for those who may not be paying close attention, but they say he's the voice of the alt-right or a certain contingent of it, but he says, I renounce the identity culture on either side of the political divide, and I agree with that, and I've said that many times on this broadcast. The identity nonsense creates – anyway, go ahead.
Well, I think it's important that we know our own history in terms of our ancestry and so forth to be well-grounded. Yeah. But that's – yeah. So anyway, another personality, George Pitt Rivers. This is an interesting man that was born on this date in 1890, and he wrote a document that is called The World Significance of the Russian Revolution that us old Cold Warriors have all read. And it has a preface by one of his friends that is a Jewish man named Dr. Oscar Levy. And this is a very compelling read, even just the preface, because Dr. Oscar Levy, in the preface, he identifies the extremes that the Jewish people, whether they be Jewish identitarians or bloodline Jewish people, and I'm sure there's a debate within just that comment, but how they go to whatever extreme, and that does always cause complications. So, but digressing back to this freedom and planning, just the two short paragraphs, and then I'll jump. Other than saying, and digressing again into a non sequitur here, yesterday I was out all day and I tried to access the archives and was not able to. I tried several times, and I'm at least computer literate enough to know how to access the archives. Is there like a time that there is a refreshing or something within RBN where I wouldn't be able to and I should try that again? I really was looking forward to listening to the yesterday's show.
I'm not sure exactly if I could say there is a definitive moment, but usually I think it's fairly quickly thereafter, and
I'll try again then. Anyway,
hour one and hour two are there, but
all right.
I think it's all right. Within. I don't know. I guess I would defer to Mr. Bordop on that. It seems like it varies, but
all right. I'll try again and see what happens. Anyway, these are two very brief paragraphs, and then I'll jump. I'll get off the line. The following, and this is a description before the book, but it is posted. The following document entitled Freedom and Planning emanates from the Jew Israel Moses Seif, chairman of the Fabian PEP, Political and Economic Plan, in London. Mr. Seif is, according to the Jewish Yearbook, a Zionist worker, grand commander of the Order of Ancient Maccabeans, first honorary secretary to the Zionist Commission to Palestine, and vice president of the English Zionist Federation. He must, therefore, I should stress the word must, he must, therefore, participate in all the secret councils of Zionism. He is, moreover, chairman of the chain stores of Marks and Spencer, where the dumping of Russian and other foreign goods has made possible the underselling of other firms dealing with British manufactured goods, paid according to the tariffs of British labor. It is therefore no wonder that the chain store movement, standardizing cheap goods and materials, should be advocated by him. Now, you know I'm a harsh critic, and anyone that ever has heard me speak on air or off, a harsh critic of the British and the British system. But this is, see, the British system as it is right now, and they are obviously willing participants right from the right from the time of that's another subject for another day, but for a long several centuries, in terms of integrating between the Jewish and the Christian thought processes and so forth. But this right here, just those two short paragraphs, really shows this incestuous political and religious and economic two systems that clash and combine and come out more powerful in the earlier time, but ultimately one dominates the other, and so that it's like a nightmare. Anyway,
yeah, and that's what we keep seeing, and that is that's part of the mechanics that have been continually employed, because that's how you make a strong sword. You know, getting back to the point that I always make about how, in conjunction with Pike's allegedly spurious letter to Mazzini, basically that's what you do. You collide these forces together. You sort of keep folding them together like you make a sword. You fold it and hammer it, fold it and hammer it, and then you end up with one sword of these elements that have been folded together 1,000 times and hammered together, and it's unbreakable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and one last afterthought. I want to coin a word right now, because the compassionate Jews, or whether Jewish identitarian or Jewish in reality, you know, it's the compassionate ones really do cause a lot of problems as well, even though it's as the result of altruism and compassion. So
yeah.
Here's the word I want to coin and try to get in the narrative somehow in order to comprehend how complicated and mixed up things are, is the word Finkelsteinian. Finkelsteinian.
Okay.
Yeah, because Norman Finkelstein he's very intelligent and he's very compassionate, and I went and seen him speak once, and everybody was able to ask questions, and he gave a very reasonable response, etc. But he is, without question, one of the underlying causes, if not the main underlying cause, and it can be deduced from listening to videos online.
Yeah.
One of the main underlying causes of this march of return. So, Finkelsteinian.
Or
you know, it might fit right in with, yeah.
I would say a carrying of the torch, you know, of that concept, the march of return, you know.
Yeah.
Never in sort of 9/11 fashion, you know, that whole never forget nonsense. Well, if we're never going to forget, then let's make sure that we adhere accurately to the historical narrative, not the specious talking points, not the propaganda and so forth.
Right.
Anyway.
The narratives are being questioned by a lot more people, but I do think he deserves a lot of credit for being one of the main personalities that has brought the discussion out into the open somewhat, to where at least it can be viewed by people that otherwise would consider it too intimidating to raise the issue. So anyway, thank you kindly.
Finkelsteinian. Yeah, Finkelsteinian.
Yeah.
Good word.
So long.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, as always. That's some heady stuff, you know? That's a lot to chew on. Reminds me of Jim in Illinois, you know? It might take me eight weeks to digest all of that. Anyway, let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Harvey in Florida. Harvey, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Chris. How you doing?
All right, Harvey. Thanks. You?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Boy, it was a sad day yesterday. But before I get to that, you know, I was... The BBC broadcast on almost all the national public radio stations all across America all night long. The brainwashing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You should really monitor it, because I try to. It's really...
I can't
once in a
take
while
much
they
of
actually
it.
Spill the beans.
yeah.
on the overnight broadcast, but of course by daylight it's all gone already.
Yep. But, Bill in Idaho. Bill in Idaho was
by the British.
Yeah, Bill in Idaho was notorious for basically he was the you know, he was the SIGINT, the night watch, basically, and he would say that by, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning he had all kinds of dots connected, and like you said, you know, by sunup it all goes away.
It's really fantastic, and they were covering yeah. that royal wedding. But the British are unbelievable what they did in Palestine to the Jews. You know, they gave away, which is not the first time, they gave away a country that wasn't theirs. You see?
Yep.
So that's, yep. In America, the British colonies were here, and it wasn't just the British, it was the French, it was the Spanish. They split up America and destroyed the native people. And yep. still to this day, the native people are displaced into little colonies, little concentration camps. So one of the immigrants, I'm one of the immigrants. My family came over at the turn of the century. I have the records. Came over from Poland and from Hungary and from Russia and from Britain. So it's, you know, it's amazing how the British give away what's not theirs to give. And they create yeah. havoc all throughout the world. And I think yeah. now, recently, about a few months ago, I think there were 33 countries that call the Queen their Queen. And they pay homage, including Canada and Australia. I think there were 33 countries that showed up a few weeks ago to talk to the Queen, to bow and scrape.
Yeah.
And this empire is still there, and we're the enforcers. We're yep. the enforcers, just like Harley Schlanger said.
Yep.
Really very sad. Very
it is.
And I'll try to make it quick. But yesterday was unbelievable when the Senate approved the monster, what was the name, Haspel?
Uh-huh.
Nina Haspel, is that her name?
Yep.
The head of the CIA?
Yep.
And then a few minutes afterwards, I heard a report from Mike Pompeo, I think that's his name.
Yeah.
Pompeo said that he's going to have the strongest sanctions ever in history against yep. Iran almost immediately yep. after she was sworn
yep.
in.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And he was supposed to be a watchdog in the Senate. He was one on the committee to keep an eye on the CIA. And, of course, he did such a good job of covering up.
Sure. The fox in the hen house. Yeah, fox yep. in the hen house. Always going to keep an eye on. Yeah.
He was a loyal scumbag that didn't watch out for the American people with the CIA, actually. And that's
yep.
why he was promoted, and he's promoted again, and now he's declaring all-out economic war against Iran and probably North Korea and many other countries. So it's a very sad day. Yesterday should have been 100 million people marching on Washington when she was sworn in. And then when she was being questioned with the written questions that they had, the fake questions that when they gave her a hard interrogation there.
Yeah.
They should have used some waterboarding on her and when they brought her in front of the Senate, or at least a lie detector test. And where was she on 9/11 2001? She was there for 34 years in the CIA. What was she doing on 9/11 2001? What do you think,
yeah.
Chris? What the hell was she doing?
Well, not to be quippy, you know, folks like that were preparing years in advance. You know, I've mentioned, you look at, I mean, how did Eric Prince know that there would be a boon in the military-industrial complex for private military contractors?
The Carlyle Group?
Yeah. So, you know, she was preparing, you know. Anyway,
they didn't ask her. They didn't ask her when they questioned her in front of the Senate. So just the whole thing is staged. The whole thing is fake. And
absolutely.
I'll give you a line from Seinfeld before I get off, from George Costanza, when he realized that everything he ever did was wrong. Wouldn't the opposite have to be right? And that's my statement for America. If everything that this country did in our name was wrong, only the opposite will save our asses. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank you, Harvey. I appreciate it as always. And that's why I read, Jefferson's letter. I mean, I try to come at that exact point from a variety of angles. That's exactly, and we've done the exact opposite. I mean, speaking of that, you go down the laundry list of facts submitted to A Candid World. We've violated those point for point, or we've been, bad guys have done that point for point. I haven't, you haven't, but we've been led by the nose. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what science...
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. Before we go back to the phones, I want to give you a clip. Speaking of, we played this already. It's a great video by On Point Preparedness, May 13, 2018, titled Trump Has Been Planning This for 35 Years. We played this last week, but I think it slipped through. Under the radar, and anybody paying attention knew you know, what Harvey just mentioned about Mike Pompeo's remarks, and it's what news outlet was that I saw the headline? Where is that? Looking for that real fast. So, no, I don't know where I saw that, but you know, it was basically the headline that Harvey mentioned. You know, the greatest sanctions in history against Iran coming, and everybody who was paying attention saw that. I mean, that was not a surprise at all. So I want to give you just, I don't know, maybe 2.5 minutes or so, I think, a few minutes maybe, from about 2:51 to 6.5 minutes or something like that. Listen to this. This is shocking history, that when we start getting into the discussion of who and what Donald Trump is, this seems to kind of get memory hold in that discussion. But setting aside candidate Trump, if you will, listen to this little bit of history. Go ahead, please.
Presidency via cartoons, as with the Simpsons episode in 2000 called Bart to the Future, or this eerily accurate heavy metal cartoon called The Wall by Peter Cooper from July 1990, which even foretells of a Trump wall. But even more disturbing is Trump's direct integration with the White House back in the early 1980s, which relates back to the photo of the dove I showed before. The photo was used in this Manhattan Inc. magazine edition entitled Donald Trump's Ultimate Deal. In this magazine, Donald tells us how he can solve nuclear arms proliferation across the world. What's shocking about this article, as I mentioned prior, is that Trump states that he has been in close talks with the White House ever since the early 80s, as well as his plan with which he would disarm the world. In referencing to his intertwining with the White House, he states, "I'm dealing at a very high level on this," he said, "with people in Washington, in the White House. There was too much at stake for him to risk the wrong kind of exposure on the subject being nuclear proliferation." In summary, he states, referring to the rest of the world outside US and Russia, "Most of those pre-nuclear countries are in one form or another dominated by the US and Soviet Union. Between those two nations, you have the power to dominate any of those other countries. So, we should use our power of economic retaliation, and they use their powers of retaliation, and between the two of us, we will prevent the problem from happening." So Trump's solution is a partnership with Russia to subdue other countries from obtaining nuclear arms. Other than teaming up with Russia, what were his specific plans? Well, he states, again, referring to the other countries, "Maybe we should offer them something. I'm saying you start off nicely as possible. You apply as much pressure as necessary until you achieve the goal. You start off telling them, let's get rid of it. If that doesn't work, you start cutting off aid, and more aid, and then more. You do whatever is necessary so these people will have riots in the street, so they can't get water, so they can't get band-aids, so they can't get food. Because that's the only thing that's going to do it. The people, the riots." Trump is so bold in this interview that he even declares sanctions against allies like France, since they have the nuclear bomb. He states, "They've got the bomb, but they don't have it now with the delivery capability they will have in 5 years. If they don't give it up, and I don't mean reduce it, and I don't mean stop, because stopping doesn't mean anything. I mean get it out. If they didn't, I would bring sanctions against that country that would be so strong, so unbelievable." End quote. So these are the thoughts of Donald Trump 35 years ago, that he was already entwined in the White House, that he was already attempting Middle East peace, and that, at least in reference to nuclear disarmament, He is prepared to work with Russia to subdue the rest of the world into riots by massive sanctions and other means. Well, isn't it interesting then that 35 years ago from these statements, Donald Trump is pursuing Middle East peace, that he is being investigated for a variety of collusions with Russians, and also publicly states that the two should moderate the Israeli-Palestinian peace, that just as he was prepared to bring massive sanctions on France 35 years ago, that he states today he will sanction European allies if they continue to deal with Iran in the nuclear Iran deal. So it seems to me that one, Trump and perhaps the elites have been grooming Trump for this event for nearly four decades. And two,
okay, that's
his
enough.
Thoughts of the past seem to be reflected.
I agree with that. I think he has been groomed. I think he's, the golly shucks persona is misleading. I think that the Trump Russia, the Russiagate nonsense to me seems like a sort of Damocles if it's anything, but hopefully that makes sense. I mean, that's a provocative history lesson, I think. So that combined with what I said before the elections about Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, and that soundbite specifically, the man or the party who seems strong and resolute enough to quote unquote get things done, who exercises the greatest appeal. Strong in this sense means not merely a numerical majority. It is the ineffectiveness of parliamentary majorities or politics in general. I would add parenthetically, with which people are dissatisfied. What they will seek is somebody with such solid support as to inspire confidence that he can carry out whatever he wants. It is here that the new type of party organized on military lines comes in. Sounds kind of like what's going on. And as far as confidence is concerned, I agree with Thomas Jefferson and his draft of the Kentucky resolutions. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
My call.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Playing that again. I watched it and listened to it before, but just hearing it, not watching it,
yeah,
gives me another perspective. And it also wants me, well, actually the Holy Spirit wants me to say, I've got a couple things I want to cover here, but the reason I had to call in was because of the archives. And if Dave will go to radio, which are roguewarriorradio.chatango.com, and I'll repost it. I have it posted in there, and it's imperative that when we post links for archives that we download them at the same time, otherwise they may go missing. Which, there again, there's a higher force. Now, we've had a falling out, which is actually allowing a spreading of knowledge for more audiences to hear what's going on. But also, the reason archives aren't available is because they're being reconstructed to keep, partly to keep this one person that has left from getting these archives. But there again, the Holy Spirit is in charge, God is in charge, and someone that was a listener downloaded everything. See?
So, that's I think, from what I understand, that's misleading. I don't know of any verifiable proof of that.
Let's go a little further here now with what you just played is partially misleading, because there was a gentleman named Lee or Leo Wanta, and he was under the Totten Doctrine, an ambassador for Reagan. That was only done under Lincoln before, and it was because of George H.W. Bush pushing himself in there. And he is also the reason that Russia came down financially.
Yeah, I don't want to get into Wantagate right now, but we played...
You're tagging names on things because our media, which isn't our media, instructs us on how to say and what to think, and we have this choice and that choice, a cookie
for I think it's disingenuous to call into question my motives. You don't know my motives, so don't say I tag things for reasons that you would ascribe to me. Please.
Chris, what Harvey just said about what was on TV, the two choices of what was done and what should be done. Yes, we live in an inverted society.
Mm-hmm.
The cabal, and you can spell that with both C and K, is inversion.
Sure.
That's their favorite type of lie, and it's in everything. Everything is upside down. But when Renee had said, you know, our media and our television sets, we can reject that. And in fact, there's so much to be found on the internet. We really, and between that and nature, who has time for that bogus, you know, they tell you some truth, but never the whole truth. And it's meant to stir emotions so you can't think. But also, I wanted to go back real quick to one time when she said, you were talking about Constantine, and she said, I think it goes further back than that. And I will repost the link about Truot's visit to Israel that brought this to my attention. But if you go to Acts 8, 19 through 24, you'll see Simon Magus tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit just after Christ had ascended.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I forget who, there was a caller, we had that discussion recently. Who was it? I forget. But yeah, absolutely.
Can I just finish this thought before I forget it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Constantine and his mother, Helena, dug up these bones of Simon Magus, and they are what is in the Holy Sepulchre. Not so holy. But what really came to attention recently was that church was shut down for a while because of the heavy Jerusalem tax put on it for people to go there. But people need to know they're going there to worship Simon Magus. Christ was in the garden tomb. And you can go there and see where the rod is snapped off and the rock is rolled up the hill. Holy Spirit had me tell this to Lark when he was filling in for you on August 25th, Friday.
Right on. Well, my take on it is I don't care to worship the dead. He is the God of the living, and it's that simple.
Exactly. But I'm just saying these people are being duped in so many ways, and we all are, and we don't have to be. We don't have to accept it. Ask for highest guidance and follow without expectation. I know I aggravate people, but I think I'm directed to do that. I'm sorry to say. But I will post that link about Truot's visit, and I will repost what I have in there of your yesterday shows, which I haven't gotten to listen to yet either, but I have the link and the downloading, but it doesn't coincide with the archives link at the website at the moment.
Right on. Well, I appreciate it. I respect your perspective, but, you know, I have mine as well. So far as wanting, I would call it Wantagate. I did a lot of homework. I covered that story a million years ago. And that's what I would call it. It seemed like a limited hangout that really...
Let me add one more point. Our basic problem is usury. We know this.
Sure.
And it comes from one quarter.
I just mentioned Thomas Jefferson's quote to that effect earlier in this broadcast.
We were misled about the Germans. And that term Nazi came from a Jew named Conrad Haydn, who it was Austrian or... Bavarian colloquialism for simpleton or bumpkin. And he capitalized on it, and now we all think Germany's first name is Nazi. But don't we all see now?
As far as that term is concerned, I ascribe to basically what Eustace Mullen said about that. So... I'll leave it at that.
Well,
let those who have ears to hear. Pardon?
Yep. You can research for yourself. That's what I did. Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Murr. I always appreciate your call. I mean, hopefully we can respectfully disagree on things. I agree. The issue of usury is a penultimate issue. But still, I have my opinion. I stated it, and so we'll move on. Anyway, back to the phones we go, I guess. Jeremy in Kentucky. Jeremy, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You bet.
I wanted to bring up the subject of identity politics and Jordan Peterson, because he came up on a couple of different shows that I've listened to just today, actually. And I've tried to go back in the archives to kind of figure out, you know, who you are and what you're about, and I was interested in this series you're doing on CIA identity politics, and I listened to a couple of the earlier shows just to get a feel for this. And I want to make some statements where you and I are probably in agreement, and then I want to ask a question to you. So I definitely do see that identity politics could be equated to classical Marxism in that in classical Marxism, right, they had the classes war against each other to create revolution, and then elites would slip in, and the communist government was then ruled by elites, and the people were kept in, the class warfare of economics then can translate over into culture, religion, race, and I definitely see that. So I see identity politics as a means that the elite use to divide and conquer.
Let me just interject.
Yeah,
before your question, let me just interject one thing real quick. One of the things that I was, hoping to get to, was that CBS clip that I was thinking of last week. One of those clips of, Nora Erekat on CBS. And it's interesting for someone as well-informed. Again, it's always interesting, kind of back to Renee's call and how well-informed David Icke is, but how certain things get mixed in and basically it marginalizes the whole message. So to hear someone like Nora Erekat, as well-informed, well-educated and articulate as she is, to be asked point-blank, so what's the deal? What's the agenda? And for someone like her not to give at least a nod, a recognizable nod to the hidden hand, so to speak, to say, whatever you want to say, Greater Israel Project, Yanan Plan, or whatever point in history you want to go to pretend like what's happening is sort of what's referred to as the accidental version of history is, I think, irresponsible at the very least and nefarious at the worst. So there's that going on, and it's very subtle. That's why I wanted to play that clip, and maybe we'll play it tomorrow. But the one I'm thinking of is, it's CBS News. It's 9 minutes. It's titled, How Are Palestinians Reacting to the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem and Violence in Gaza? And so there's a plan, and there are forces that have done these things, the invisible government, as Edward Bernays called it. Ralph Epperson's book is The Unseen Hand. It's been referred to that in a variety of ways. But it's happening, and for someone to not – she knows. There's no way she can't know. And so that's interesting and provocative, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
And that – hopefully that makes sense in the context of what you're saying as far as how that conflict is fomented and, you know, it's predicated on those nefarious clandestine forces.
Yeah, speaking of Peterson, I've listened to a lot of him because one of my friends is into him. He comes to a lot of these conclusions that identity politics is a means of keeping the people divided and planned by the elites. But then his solution, I don't know that it is viable. My question to you is this. With European peoples being less than 8% of the world population and massive immigration from third world countries is going on in Europe, and it's coming to the U.S., is happening too now in the U.S., if everyone else is bound and determined to play identity politics, but European peoples don't, will that not mean the demise of the European peoples, and maybe even in less than 4 or 5 decades, become a despised minority, such as the Boers in South Africa?
Well, again, that's all part of a coordinated attack. If you go back to the Immigration Act of 1965, I've talked about it several times, how you can see the engineering of these forces, particularly over the course of the 20th century. Some of the terms that come to mind, Gerrit Coleman has called the Wahhabizing now of the West. Wahhabization is what I call social virus that was used most effectively to balkanize the Ottoman Empire. Now that's being unleashed on the West. There's all kinds of evidence we could go over. I've mentioned several times, but there's that. There's the when you create there was the Immigration Act of 1965. Then you skip forward into the 70s. And you have the creation of the Afghan Mujahideen, basically harnessing this social virus of Wahhabism or Salafism, which is considered Wahhabism on tour, and Deobandism, which is a cousin. That's the radical, puritanical, fundamentalist ideology. It's not a religion. It's considered an ideology. Folks can go to the Salafism Wikipedia entry and see that the Salafi movement, you go to the section on views on extremism, and that's what it says. Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology, not religion, speaking of identity politics, it says is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab. But you take that and you weaponize it through Operation Cyclone, most notably the CIA's creation of the Afghan Mujahideen. And then with the Immigration Act of 1965, you're actually importing that here in one form. And we've done that more. It's been sort of corporatized in a variety of ways. You have the Gulen Network running charter schools, for example, and 60 Minutes did an expose on that in 2012. But that's one aspect. And then you have the a counterpart to that, I would call it, is what's referred to as the Kalergi Plan. Richard von Codenhove Kalergi was the guy specifically, you know, again, sort of to Renee's point and to what you're saying, to draw the ends together on this discussion, so to speak. When it's Marxism, it's, you know, it's the workers fighting with the allegedly the owners of production, and you never hear about the visually the way I would represent it is the raised capstone, so to speak, that's controlling all of these forces from above all of this conflict. And so you have guys like Richard von Codenhove Kalergi, who was the guy who basically envisioned the plan to exterminate the undesirable contingent of the European population, if that makes sense, to your point. So there are a variety of forces that are that have been brought to bear on civilization. There is the, you know, and there's also Kelly Greenhill's coercive engineered migration. It's also the weaponizing of migration and, you know, forcing folks into different places, which causes chaos and social upheaval. So it's not a small point. It's not a simple point, what you raised, but there are all of those forces that have been brought to bear to extinguish those folks you're talking about, if that makes sense.
Well, because, you know, play identity politics out of survival, basically. White people do out of survival.
I think that's, again, sort of encouraged. You know, and back to the conversation with Renee, I think we all owe it to ourselves and one another to band together. United we stand, divided we fall. I'm under the impression that's, you know, part of our American identity. I don't know. Maybe I'm misguided, but that's my belief. So I guess we're out of time. That'll do it. I wish we could talk more about that, but that'll do it. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Paul, sorry we didn't get to you. Take care. God bless, folks, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.